1 Corinthians 16, from verse 15 to the end of the chapter, the close of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I don't pretend that there's any major doctrine here, but what I do assert is that I see here a very lovely picture indeed. A picture which is altogether too absent in modern Christianity. It's equivalent to Romans 16. There's a mini closure to Romans. And we get this picture scattered, I was going to say, but very frequently scattered throughout the New Testament. We get windows into the ecclesial life of these early believers. And what a contrast with today. We get another picture here. Various people are mentioned. Now, who are they? Well, we have Stephanas and his household in verse 15. He's joined in verse 17 with Fortunatus and Achaicus. And then in verse 19, there's Aquila and Priscilla. Some of these we've met before. Some of these we meet once. But it doesn't matter. Just these names. And they're only a sample, I'm sure, of what was going on at Corinth. And what was going on at Corinth? Who were these people? What can we say about them? What are they? Well, they're all converts, verse 15. Stephanas and his household, the first converts in Achaia. But that's a characteristic of all these brothers and sisters here. Or again, in verse 15, they devoted themselves to the service of the saints. They themselves are saints. We're talking about saints here, the sanctified. They're sanctified positionally. They have been separated from the world, separated unto God in Christ. They are perfect before God in Christ. But they're being sanctified, holified in their life. We saw that right in the first chapter, in the very opening verses. Verse 2. Converts, saints, brothers, verse 15. I urge you, brothers. Yes, they're brothers and sisters. And again, in verse 20, all the brothers here send you greetings. Who are these then? They're the brothers. They're the saints. They're the converts. They're the believers. Interesting about the household, just a remark there. You know, many Presbyterians argue about household baptism and so on. The household of Stephanas. Well, if they're infants, how can they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints? Verse 15. The household are the adult members, of course, of the household. They're the converts, above all, of course, in the household. It's nothing to do with infant baptism. It's a nonsense. You can't submit to infants. That's what we're told here. And they're not engaged in the service of the saints, 15 and 16. This household are believers of such an age to be believing in a recognized way and to be baptized. Nothing to do with infant baptism at all. But what do these brothers, converts, saints do? Well, what do we have in verse 15? They are devoted. They devoted themselves. Romans 12. We sacrifice ourselves, our bodies, not just our money, our time, but all. Take my life and let it be. They're devoted to the service of the saints, of the ecclesia, the believers. They're devoted to service. They're active in their ecclesia life, in their spiritual life. Verse 16, they're workish. They join in the work and they labor at it. Interesting, hard toil, keeping on, persistent, commitment. What lack of commitment we have today. Oh, what commitment there is here. Verse 19, hospitality. The church, the ecclesia that meets at their house. These were small ecclesias in these days, meeting in small houses, probably the atriums. None of this great, massive mecca church here. So there's hospitality, there's work, there's labor, there's service, there's devotion to Christ and to the believers. What a picture. And what does Paul want from them? Well, he wants further devotion. He wants further submission and further labor. That's what he's working for. Verse 16, submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work. May there be a mutual submission. We get this in Ephesians chapter 5 very strongly. Submit to one another. In Colossians 2. Must recognize these true believers. Submit such men, verse 18, deserve recognition. We want labor amongst us. Submission to one another. Recognition of one another. Are these contradictory? Seemingly so, but this is ecclesial life. We submit and we recognize. We honor. He wants love, does he not? Verse 24, my love. Verse 22, love the Lord. Love comes all the way through this. Greetings one another with a holy kiss. Love. Spiritual life. Spiritual submission. Spiritual recognition. Labor, toil in the things of God. Words like fellowship come over here. I was the word's not here, but the principle here. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. No doubt there was money in it, but there was spiritual refreshment, spiritual joy, spiritual love for Christ, verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord, this is what he wants, this is what's going on here. Grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, verse 23. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Christ over it all, for Christ, because they're in Christ, and Christ is among them. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. And this is what Paul has here. This is what he's looking for. This devotion, this love, this submission, this care, this fellowship, this sharing. This is ecclesia life. They're all at it, men and women. They're all ministers of Christ. They're all priests of the Lord. They're all in the new covenant. They're new covenant priests. This is the temple of the Lord in the new covenant. This is the ecclesia. This is ecclesia life. Ecclesia love. Ecclesia service. Oh, how I long for it. To contribute to it. I want to do that. And to receive from it. I do, to a measure, with individual believers or small people, small groups of people, but oh, to know ecclesial life like this. But what do we have today? We have institutional boxes. Let me give you some descriptions, just a few to think about. Here's the church one. How would you describe this institutional box? Well, that's virtually a lecture hall. The next one along, what's that like? That's really a social club. What's this one here? Well, this is a welfare clinic. What's that one over there? Well, that's a holiday camp. That's how I see the modern churches. Holiday camps, welfare clinics, social clubs, lecture halls. What do I see here? A living, vital body. Mingling together, working together, joining together, sharing in the work, all active. And of course, through various scriptures, we know that they were all active in teaching, ministering, receiving, applying the gospel, working for the gospel. This is ecclesia life. Oh, to have it. This is the way the world sees Christ in the world. How? By seeing the love that we have one for another worked out in daily life like this. Notice Paul's categorical statement. If anyone, verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, O Lord. O Lord, come. Looking for the coming of Christ. But no, it's categorical. If we don't love Christ, a curse is upon us. It's not only loving Christ, of course. You get into this by trusting Christ. This is the converts. Have you been converted? I speak to those who are listening to me now who are not converted. You're not converted. You must be converted. You can't share in this. You can't know this. You can't have this until you're converted. It's not only this you won't have. You will perish unless you're converted. You will not perish. Come to Christ and trust him. Trust Christ. Love Christ. Serve Christ. And this is the way you serve him in the ecclesia. I write to all of you, I speak to all of you who want this, but are deprived of it. Let us still maintain this before men. May we pray to receive it, but may we maintain it before men and show other believers what the ecclesia life should be. For those who are enjoying it, God honor you and bless you in it. For most of us, though, as I say, we're either living in a lecture hall, a social club, a welfare clinic, a holiday camp, or just isolated in loneliness. Oh, for the ecclesia life of the New Covenant, of the New Testament. Here is a glorious picture of it. I commend it to you. 1 Corinthians 16, from verse 15 to 24. Interesting climax to this letter, isn't it? Starts off with such disorder, such confusion, such badness in this church. But he wants to leave a picture of throbbing, thriving ecclesia life. This is so important to Paul. It's a necessity for us. Christ joined us to himself to join us to one another. This is heaven on earth. May we all live to see this ecclesia life in action.